okay, so now suddenly everyone realized that AI existed. Is this a craze?
So let me correct you a little bit. We are here today not because of AI, but because of ChatGPT. They mentioned that in a few years' time, 2-3 years' time, AI will be creating around 85 million new jobs. Now, on the other hand, it will also destroy some of these jobs as well. So we're talking about millions of jobs.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Block 101. Today I'm here with Alexei Dingley. Alexei Dingley is a professor at the University of Malta within the Faculty of ICT, specifically lectures in the field of AI. And but Alexei is also a very good old friend of mine. We've been knowing each other for many, many years. And I believe we were at school since we were 11 years old.
Yes.
So together, so, and we've been part of the same group of friends. So I'm happy to have you here, Alexei. Welcome.
Thank you, Joe. My pleasure.
So Alexei, you are a father of three. For many years, you were also the mayor of Valletta, the capital city of Malta. And you are one of the most prominent professors at the University of Malta. How do you manage to do this all? And tell us okay. something more about you, maybe, that I don't know.
All right, Joe. It's an interesting question. Yes, I've been mayor for more than 10 years. I stopped in 2019. It was a very interesting period, of course, you know, where you could contribute to Valletta. And I'm from Valletta, you know, so you know, giving something back to the city. But it was also a very difficult time because, of course, in Malta, mayors are part-timers. So you need to juggle with your full-time job. Plus, as you correctly said, your family as well. So it wasn't easy. So I think the secret is to have very good time management. So I have my digital diary and everything is slotted very well in that diary. You need to prioritize as well because, you know, being mayor means also that people invite you for anything. And sometimes you need to sort of stop certain things in favor of others. In particular, I always prioritize my family. So, you know, family time was sort of sacred for me. Of course, you know, I had my duties as mayor, which I did as well. And in parallel of that, you need to continue with your career because your career doesn't stop. So what I used to do was essentially to wake up very early, trying to steal an hour from the day in the early time of the morning. I'm a morning person myself, so I normally wake up around 6 in the morning and I start working. I do the work in peace and silence and then, of course, have the meetings and all the other stuff throughout the day.
Okay, very interesting. I do wake up early, but for some reason, although I wake up very early, I'm not a morning person. I can't do anything really early in the morning. Okay. I have to come at peace with the world first. So, is being a professor at the University of Malta fulfilling? What are the greatest achievements to date? And how do you see the university growing in terms of tech?
Yes. Yes, I find it extremely fulfilling. First of all, I think we're quite lucky in Malta because when you consider that the Department of AI was created in the early 90s. So at the time it was called CSAI, so Computer Science and AI, but then eventually it split. But considering that our university for the past 30 years had some AI studies going on, I think we were very lucky. Now, the interesting part about university is sort of the freedom that university gives you. And it gives us the freedom to explore any interest or any topic which we really like. And I think that's the plus side of university. In fact, I have projects related to health and AI, related to traffic and AI, related to Industry 4.0 and AI. So you know, I can explore my various interests via these projects. In fact, a project which I have very much at heart is the Education AI project, whereby we're offering personalized and adaptive education to children in year 4, 5, and 6, and now we're starting Form 1. So we're trying to revolutionize education with AI. So you know, that's the exciting part of AI. Of course, the issue of resources is always a big issue, and we have to do with the limited resources which we have. Ideally, we had much more resources than we actually do. But considering everything, I think we're in a quite good place. Even though we could do much more if we had the resources which we need.
So, do you think the resources should come from the private industry or from the government?
I think it should be a mix of both. I mean, when you consider Malta, when it comes to R&I spending, even though, you know, our level is going up, it's still very much low compared to other European countries. And when you compare to the rest of the world, it's even lower. Of course, per capita, I'm talking, all right? Not mm-hmm. I mean, you can't compare Malta to the United States, but per capita, it's still quite low. When it comes to industry, I don't think there is enough innovation and research coming from industry. And I think that's a big problem because even as a university, we're very much open to collaborations with industry. But on the other end, we find that a lot of industries sort of import technology rather than create or research technology local, mm-hmm. which is a pity because we have some really good people. If you look at our students, a lot of them go to the United Kingdom or to mm-hmm. other countries. So we do have the brains, yeah. but now we need the opportunities that comes from amalgamating industry and university and, of course, you know, government funding as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, it's interesting because so the university is open to having, for example, the industry sponsoring projects.
Yeah.
And then getting the students to work on those projects, yeah. which would be funded also by the industry. So. Yes. That is something that you would be open
for. We already have a number of these okay. projects. I mean, we had some of them whereby one of the bigger ones, we had 4 master students at any one time. Subsequently, then we moved over to even a PhD student, which is, you know, a hefty amount of money. We have our knowledge transfer office that helps us with the IP, the legal stuff. And most of the time, we also sort of negotiate the best outcome, both for the industry, for the company, and also for university. Why? Because normally our interests are very different. So industry would require more the commercial aspect, whereas we're more focused on the scientific aspect. But we do work with a lot of companies in Malta.
Interesting. And so that is one thing that I've experienced when I was studying abroad. But also I've seen some universities, obviously bigger universities, actually have funds and invest in projects of their students. Is that something that Malta could do in the
no.
future?
Well, it could do, but we don't have it at the moment. And I think that's a big problem. You know, one of my projects, which is related to health, it's quite an advanced project. In fact, we've gone beyond the state of the art. So it's quite unique, not just in Malta or in Europe, but even in, globally. However, one of the biggest issues is to seek funding. And it's always a problem trying to, you know, apply for funding and moving a tiny piece at a time. Now my worry is that our level of movement with innovation is so slow that other countries will easily catch up with us. So we need some fund injection, especially for these innovative projects.
Okay. So let's talk more about AI now. Suddenly, everyone realized about the existence of AI. But as you rightly said, AI has been with us for long. In fact, the university has been lecturing on AI for the past 20, 30 years. And AI has been integrated in our industry in various forms a long time ago. When I say our industry, I mean the tech industry. Mm-hmm. I mean the gaming, yes. the financial services industry. So they have been using AI for quite some time. But okay, so now suddenly everyone realized that AI existed. Is this a craze now because everyone realized that about the existence of AI, or do you believe that AI is going to really change the way we live?
Okay, so let me correct you a little bit, okay? We are here today not because of AI, but because of ChatGPT.
In fact, my next question is more about ChatGPT, in fact.
Because that's what sort of popularized AI. But what was happening before was that, you know, AI was leading this very quiet revolution. Why do I say that? Because if you look at your AC, your car, your oven, All of them have some sort of AI today. I mean, I can't really think of a device or an appliance without some sort of AI. Of course, there are different levels of AI.
Limited, there, exactly. In some cases.
There's those that are super limited and there are those super advanced, no? So ChatGPT really catapulted AI to the forefront of everyone. Mm-hmm. Before, remember, Joe, a lot of the knowledge about AI, which people had, came from Hollywood. Mm-hmm. So it was mainly about Terminator and
sci-fi.
AI killing all of us. So we're still not there, and it's still far away from there, I can assure you. But yes, ChatGPT made a big difference because now everybody can access it. And the strength of ChatGPT and similar technologies, because it's not the only one, is that it's as if you have your own personal assistant now. Mm-hmm. AI reached that level, which is quasi almost human. Okay, so it's a big milestone.
But let me ask you one thing about ChatGPT. I use it a lot. I love ChatGPT.
I use it a lot.
I think everyone who knows how to use it loves to use it. So it's a no-brainer to use it because it saves you a lot of time. Although it makes some mistakes, and that is where you have to know how to use it, because you need to know how to check how to use ChatGPT.
Yeah.
So when you receive a result, you don't take it for granted that it's correct. You have to check it. Checking also the sources, even the prompts you have to ask have to be intelligent to make sure that it gives you the references and you check the references
We're talking about ChatGPT, but do you realize that it's not even 1 year old?
Agreed. But actually, my question is, do you agree with me that ChatGPT is quite a basic level of AI? And there are out there already, maybe not for public consumption, much more advanced AI solutions?
Thank you for the question. No, you're absolutely right. I mean, when you go into the nitty-gritty of how it works, it's really a translation from one text to the other. It's nothing more than that. Of course, you know, I don't want to diminish the power of ChatGPT because it's very powerful, but its strengths come from the fact that it manages to amalgamate huge amounts of data. Just to give some ideas, GPT-4, we're talking about 1 trillion tokens, which is a massive amount of data. And that is how it manages to do sort of its magic. But in reality, there isn't really much magic going on. It's very advanced statistics, very AI algorithm.
From the information it was fed.
Yes.
And regurgitating it in a good way, sort of.
Exactly. So, you know, there are much more advanced. I mean, if you take self-driving cars, for example, they're much more advanced technology because, you know, you have different sensors.
There's
they
more
have
intuition.
To understand what's going on, different weather conditions. So it's a much, 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 much more complex system.
Mm-hmm. But in the end, the basis is always the same. You feed it information and it processes that information and gives you the answer that you need, correct?
Yes, that's the current versions we have. But remember, one of the strengths of AI is the learning part.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when it comes to tools like ChatGPT or similar tools, the learning happens offline. So it doesn't mean that if I give it something, it will learn it.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to pass through a learning process, which happens at a later date. Why? Mm-hmm. Because it's very taxative, it's very heavy, it uses a lot of resources. So we're not there for the learning part. But when you consider things like self-driving cars, so apart from the amalgamation of data and processing whatever, they also have a learning component. So that is why, before I told you, listen, there are much more advanced AI, which, you know, are million times more complex than something like ChatGPT.
Mm-hmm. Now, you wrote a very interesting article, which I read, about ChatGPT for dummies. Can you summarize this article in 2, 3, 4 minutes?
I'll try. No, so what I wanted to do from that article is sort of to help people understand how it works. Because I was seeing a lot of articles, even statements by some people that were saying, listen, AI is reaching some sort of autonomy, no? It's starting to think on its own. There's something more than just number crunching of data, which is not the case. And there have been studies, even by Stanford, that claim that even though ChatGPT and similar technologies have been trained on zillions of information, no intelligence is emerging from it. So, you know, this thing of AI becoming a person of its own, becoming sentient, it's not happening, at least with the technology which we have today. And that is why I wrote that article, because I wanted people to understand how simple it is to have a system similar to ChatGPT. So how does it work? Essentially, I like to bring the analogy of the world chain game. No, so I say a word, you repeat my word and add another word to that. And I do the same. I repeat your two words and I add another word. That is precisely how ChatGPT works. That is why you need the prompt, because the prompt is the initial part of the phrase, and it's simply adding words statistically to that prompt. And you know, when you start thinking about this process, then you realize that there isn't any big intelligence going on. I mean, it's just statistics, one word after the other. However, the results are quite amazing, so I can't discount that part. But you know, there isn't an intelligence behind ChatGPT.
And the reason why it's not easy to create a competitor for ChatGPT is obviously the resources that it uses are massive.
Yes.
So only companies like Google, Apple,
Exactly.
and so on and
Yes.
so forth can actually
Yes. Yeah.
compete with ChatGPT, as we're seeing. Like, we have Bard from Google,
Exactly.
and
Llama.
Apple definitely is going to come up with something. When everyone is ready, they will come up
Yes,
with something better, probably.
I think the challenge and which Apple have, and you know, it's a challenge which also we're trying to tackle even here at the university, is we would like to have a model on a mobile device. And that's really challenging because the models like ChatGPT, there's another one called Llama by Meta, they're massive. So we're talking about 8, 16 gigabytes, 120 gigabytes, huge models. So one, to store them on the device, it takes a lot of space. But more than that, the processing part, because these models are not simply based on what is known as the CPU, the central brain of the machine. They use something else called the GPU, the graphical processing units. It's the part of the machine that takes care of graphics. And if you don't have a good GPU, these models are super slow. And that is the challenge which we are facing, which I would imagine that Apple are facing the same challenge, because so far, you know, if you go at Siri, it's not really much smarter than what it was a few years back.
Siri is very, let's say, limited,
Yes.
not to be.
You're being very politically correct.
Which I'm not generally, but I love Apple, so
No, I love Apple as
I want to be
well.
very careful. Anyway, so AI is a tool.
Yes.
Do we agree?
Yes.
And the human element will always remain there. However, I think the human element has changed from consistency to added value, to quality now. So if I want to give the edge to my client, to my customer, I need to give quality now.
Yeah.
Giving consistency is not enough. And that is quite a big difference, because I remember always people saying, like, if you work hard, you can succeed. Does this mean that the world is moving into a situation where there's a sort of paradigm shift from hardworking people to smart people that just give that little added value to make them successful, basically? It's a very complex argument, and I really hope that
Ara.
I don't get misinterpreted here, but I think we're moving to a situation, that is my opinion, and let me know what you think, where it's no longer necessary to give 10 hours of hard work, because that 10 hours of hard work can be done in 1 hour by your computer. But we're coming to a moment where that 1 hour you give might do the whole difference, if you give the right quality to it.
Yes. All right. The big difference that will happen in the coming years is that we are moving from low skilled to high skilled labor. Okay. Now you hear a lot about AI taking jobs, blah, blah, blah. Even if you look at the Future of Jobs report 2023, they mentioned that in a few years' time, 2, 3 years' time, AI will be creating around 85 million new jobs. Okay. Now, on the other hand, it will also destroy some of these jobs as well. So we're talking about millions of jobs. Now, the problem is that those jobs that will be lost or change, okay, you can't simply take those people and swap them, move them to the new jobs created by AI, okay, because you need upskilling, reskilling. Unfortunately, not everybody will be capable of going through that phase. And in fact, a recent report published on Forbes says that by 2030, the biggest problem which the world will face is that we will have a shortage of 80 million professionals. Okay, and this is happening even in Malta. Earlier this year, for example, I attended a conference and they mentioned a new factory that just opened in Malta. Now, the model used in this factory is something which we've been seeing in the Far East, and it's called lights out manufacturing. So it's a kind of manufacturing where practically the lights are switched off because you don't have people, you only have robots, so you don't need lights going on. Now, in these kind of factories, traditionally, now you would have the factory hands. So low-skilled labor, doing manual stuff with their hands, maybe checking the quality, etc. All of this is now being replaced by machines. So these people will not find a job in these new factories. But this factory that just opened in Malta is employing 120 engineers. So you're seeing the shift from the low-skilled to the high-skilled. And I believe that the more time passes, the more we'll see this shift. Because now it's happening even, in our kind of jobs. So before, probably you needed an assistant to help you, no? Now you have ChatGPT that can do most of the work which an assistant would do. And this is something which recently I was interviewing somebody, a financial banker in Toronto. And this is exactly what he told me. He told me, listen, I do not employ juniors anymore. And I told him why. He told me, why should I? When the AI can do exactly the same work, if not better, and at a much cheaper price. So yes, Joe, we'll see this shift. And now is the right time to start identifying these people, upskill them, reskill them, and help them do the transition. Because as you said, not everybody is capable of doing it.
My problem here is this. So I don't feel sorry for certain professionals, for example, who refuse to adapt. I believe that today the trick is adaptability. Adaptability, yes. To change is what makes you or breaks you.
That's what Charles Darwin said as well, no? So, it's the adaptability to change.
But today, I think it's even more important than it was 30 years ago. And in 30 years' time, it's going to be even more important than it is today.
Very true.
So we are in a situation where we have some professionals, and as I said, I don't feel sorry for them, that are still at an age where they can learn,
yes,
but they refuse to learn.
Yes.
So to be honest, there, I'm not worried at all. It's their problem. It is scary that we have so many professionals, even in my profession. Like, we have lawyers that are completely IT illiterate.
Yes.
And I can't understand how they sleep at night, because with all the changes that are happening, how can you remain IT illiterate?
Yes.
We have notaries, for example. We have so many. We have every kind of traditional profession. You'll find people that refuse
mm-hmm.
to learn.
Yes.
But so I'm not very worried about those people. I think they will have to adapt in some way or another. My biggest problem is older people. So while I don't feel sorry for those people that have the opportunity to learn and don't, I do feel sorry and scared for those people that today have reached an age where this technology is so different from what they're used to that it is scary for them. Mm-hmm. And I do understand that they have problems in adapting. So what is the balance we have to find in order to make sure that who has to learn will need to learn? But those that really can't, yes, we have to protect them as well.
Yes, I totally agree with you, Joe. I think what's important is that irrespective of, you know, the technologies we developed and whatever, we ensure that all of them are human-centric. So we keep the human at the center of everything. And keep in mind that even like technologies like ChatGPT or whatever, in reality, they're advancing this field of study known as natural language processing, which is, you know, the computer understanding natural languages like English, Italian, whatever. And that will help us create new interfaces specifically for these people, Okay, that allows them to communicate with a computer, but in a natural way. And we'll see more of this interfacing being creating. Just to give you an example, a few years back, one of the big telecoms in Malta launched a self-service payment system. Okay, it was a kiosk like the ATMs, right? It was a total failure. Why? Because the people who went to the cashier were precisely these people you're mentioning. And because the interface was not a natural interface, no, you had buttons, you had to put in stuff, they didn't understand how it worked. So the more we move towards the natural interface, I think it will also help these people as well. But of course, we need to pass through an element of training, education, hand-holding as well, because, you know, it won't happen overnight. But I think I'm confident that with these new technologies, they will also help us to reach these people as well. Something amazing, for example, which I've seen very recently, and I have a student working on it, is a brain-computer interfacing. Okay. And they did a recent experiment whereby they showed the person pictures, they read the brain signals of that person, and used AI to reconstruct a similar picture to what that person saw. Now, of course, you'll tell me, listen, this is scary. Yo, no, 1984, we're here. No, but as we said, it's a tool. It depends how you use it. And the way which we're looking at using it is with those people that are, for example, locked into their body, no? That are paralyzed. They cannot move or do anything, but their brain is functioning 100%.
And possibly it could be helping also psychiatrists and psychologists
as well.
To crack into
as well.
Problems yes. are yes. stopping someone from yes. being yes. successful, from being...
Yes. So, you know, technology is giving us some very interesting, it's breaking new frontiers now, which, you know, the brain, it's the ultimate frontier. So that's how it's moving. And I think we'll manage to reach more people with these technologies.
Mm. My another worry is scams. So, yes. for example, my mom recently told me, you saw Elon Musk, he said there's this tool to invest at. For us, it's obvious that yes. that video is an AI-generated video. Like,
mm-hmm. yes. not,
but for my mom, who is 70, almost 70 years old, for her it was, okay, it's good that she's on Facebook.
Yes.
So that's already a good thing. But like at the same time, that video, she believed it because it was Elon Musk's face. It was Elon Musk's voice.
Yes
you could tell that it's AI-generated, but... for the normal person in the street, maybe it's not that obvious. And that worries me about AI. That's the only thing, which is not the fault of AI, but it's the misuse of AI.
You're right, and it's a big worry. Yeah? Especially when it comes to misinformation. I mean, look at it like that. I mean, we've known that in the past there's been a lot of interferences, for example, in the democratic processes. No, we know that there are farms actually of people creating these fake news articles. Now, if you think about these farms, you would have a person that in, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes would write an article, a totally fake article, maybe, you know, edit it a little bit on Photoshop and add a nice photo with it. And in 30 minutes, he would have his article of fake news, which he would post online. Now, with ChatGPT, Midjourney, and all the other technologies, in a few seconds, you have that article. So can you imagine what I call the tsunami of misinformation that's coming towards us? And as you pointed out, Joe, a lot of people, they do not read the article, they read the title, they share it, they believe it without checking the facts. So this is a very, very big problem. And I'm very much afraid that, you know, it will keep on growing.
The only solution is education, I would say.
Yes, it is education and tough legislation as well. I think we need to be tough on these organizations.
It's
like a ton of bricks.
It's very difficult to get to an organization which is in the middle of nowhere
yes.
in the Caribbean
indeed,
or in the South
yes,
African
yes,
Sea.
Yes.
So
yes, but what I'm seeing as well is that like the EU is also putting an emphasis on the social media sites sort of to start cracking. But as you said, I mean, it's very difficult to crack these organizations. Mm.
One last comment from your end. Why should people come in November to Malta for AIBC and Sigma, apart from the fact that usually you have some good weather as well in November.
Yes, 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 probably it will be nice as well, so come for the weather, but definitely I think they should come as well to listen to what I have to say, because I'll be at MedTech as well. But apart from that, I think it's a very interesting forum which gathers together the top brains, let's say, of these industries. I think it's quite unique as well, because there's this healthy mix between, you know, the industry, academics, normal people, and the level of discussion is normally very high. So I do suggest that they do come to listen to the latest innovations, and, you know, whilst there, also make connections for projects which might be very interesting and might lead to the next innovations in these fields.
Alexei Dingley, thank you for being with us today. Thank you, everyone.